your health is a product of like the five people you spend the most time with. If you are, you know, spending time with people who are dysfunctional with their health, you're probably going to become dysfunctional one way or another.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people kind of like you.
Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it, that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there.
Today, I sat down with James Maskell. James is an entrepreneur in the functional medicine space. Over 10 years ago, he started his career as an eye banker and realized this was not the ladder he wanted to climb. He transitioned from that career on Wall Street to looking and selling homeopathic products to doctors. He had a natural inclination and ability to navigate a landscape and spot problems as they arise. A natural entrepreneur, James has gone on to speak on platforms such as TEDMed, TEDx, and now, as the host of the Functional Forum, speaks with practitioners and experts around the world discussing the evolution of medicine. Upcoming is his Genetic Summit, where we look at genomics and start to understand how our genetics and our blueprint interact with our lives towards optimizing our health. If something interesting is happening in the world of progressive medicine, James is either behind it or attending. We had an incredible conversation about how to recognize our own skills as entrepreneurs, how we can live to 100, and the types of steps that we can take on a daily basis to optimize our genetics. This is a perfect conversation for anyone looking to take their health and their entrepreneurial vision to the next level.
Mr. James Maskell, welcome to the podcast.
Such an honor and a pleasure to be here with you, Megan. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it is. It's honestly my pleasure. It's been such an interesting journey for us over the last few years. I'm always so fascinated by what you're up to. When something innovative is happening in the functional medicine world, you're either behind it or attending the event. How did you get to this place? What is your story? Who are you? Everyone needs to know what you're doing.
So yeah, I guess the story is I was the weird kid at school that was involved in integrative medicine, sort of forced on me by my parents. So I had a homeopath and a chiropractor, and I didn't realize that that was abnormal until I showed up at school and realized that no one knew what those things were. I had a bit of a rebellious phase where I thought I needed to be an investment banker, which was very short-lived because I realized I was playing for the wrong team. And 12 years ago, I moved to America with the intention of really getting involved. My degree was in economics. I realized there was a big problem in American medicine. I just had an inkling that some of what I had been brought up with had some way of solving the problem, mainly just because when I was growing up, I didn't know a lot of sick people. I saw a lot of healthy people. And so I was like, you know, I'm sure there's something in here that makes, you know, makes sense. And I didn't really know what that was. It was a bit of a gamble. I went from being on a very certain career trajectory of being a futures broker on the trading floor of the biggest bank in the world to being a homeopathy salesman. I ran a practice for a year and a half, which was really great training. I was a naturopathic doctor in a spa environment, and that was still one of the best run practices that I've ever seen. But it just gave me a great starting point for understanding what is it, you know, how is health creation happening on the front lines. I was then a salesperson. I was selling to doctors just like yourself, meeting doctors. I met everyone from specialist medical doctors in hospitals through to Reiki masters doing it in the, you know, their garage and everything in between, like literally everything. That was my 10,000 hours of being in the car and seeing all these different practices. And then, you know, about I started speaking at conferences on practice management in about 2011, 2012. I got my first chance to speak in front of doctors. And I realized most people who were speaking at these conferences were super boring and old. And there was an opportunity for someone who wasn't super boring and old, but also knew the industry to be able to sort of make an impact. And what I also decided, I was reading a lot of Seth Godin at the time. And he was just like, look, stop asking for permission. Stop waiting for someone to choose you and choose yourself. And so rather than waiting to be picked to speak at conferences, I started my own thing, which was called the Functional Forum. And that was really the beginning of the trajectory that we're on now. So that was it started off as a meetup for doctors in New York interested in naturopathic integrative functional medicine, also digital technology people. We made a live show, which I was the host. And 3 years later, we've done 42 episodes of the show. We've got a second show that's run out of the Royal Society of Medicine in London. We have 500 meetup groups worldwide of doctors getting together. We essentially brought down the barriers to entry to any health professional to find out about functional medicine. And then we've, you know, rather than just being sort of a reporter, we've also sort of taken on now the role through my company, The Evolution of Medicine, actually facilitating the journey of doctors from Western medicine to functional medicine. And that's, I think, probably my proudest achievement so far, is hearing from doctors who didn't get it, who were just absolutely convinced that anything in this realm was BS, it was not real medicine. And through my book, able to see that, no, this is a reproducible system for health creation. It's what's missing in the medical system. And, you know, we've been able to, you know, now change the minds of thousands, maybe tens of thousands of health professionals, and lead them towards this new era of health creation. So that's sort of like the wrap up. It's been an amazing journey. As you know, we're friends. We met actually 3 years ago, almost this time, at the Naturopath Conference, where we were both speaking on practice management relations. It's been great to stay in touch. And, you know, if you know me well enough, you know that we're just getting started. This is it's an exciting roller coaster to be playing on.
I know you're just getting started. So take people back. There's a few things in there that I actually think are really of interest. One, you didn't explicitly call it out, but it's inherent to who you are, that you can look across a landscape and just spot the little problems that would warrant an entrepreneurial solution, which I think is amazing. It's one of those fundamental skills that an entrepreneur needs to have. So I wanted to point that out. It's not a question, but I do want to ask you, what is functional medicine and why is it so foundational to the evolution of medicine? Because I think it's a term that not necessarily all of my listeners are going to have heard before.
Yeah, functional medicine is the new operating system for the delivery of care that's designed for chronic lifestyle diseases. I mean, that's as simple as I can say it. There are certain functions, certain things that, you know, that it has in common with things like naturopathic medicine like yourself and integrative medicine. The thing that functional medicine is different from those other disciplines is that everyone's doing it the same, right? In integrative medicine and naturopathic medicine, holistic medicine, everyone's doing it differently because it's an art and a science, which is fine until you want to scale up. And maybe the biggest question that I saw is, like I said, if we suddenly realized that we needed 100,000 of these doctors, how would we do it? And, you know, you can't do it with the ways that we've been working before because no one's doing the same thing. And so we've identified that functional medicine was an operating system, as opposed to, there are very smart people in Silicon Valley that will talk about P4 medicine, predictive, preventive, personalized, and participatory. And that feels good. I think we can all agree that that's something that we could aspire to, but we don't need an aspirational medical system. We need an operating system to deliver on that promise. And that's what I saw with functional medicine. And so, you know, we were lucky, not lucky. I think it's all serendipity. I've been riding a wave of serendipity for 4 years and I'm not getting off anytime soon. But on the fourth episode of the Functional Forum, the first time we actually got the live streaming to work, this is back in the days where live streaming was hard, not just with a phone now. But Mark Hyman came on and announced the Cleveland Clinic Center for Functional Medicine. And that remains sort of like the lightning rod of this whole thing, where the most credible medical organization, most innovative medical organization on the planet is now betting on functional medicine for the future of chronic disease. And our trajectory has sort of followed that trajectory. And that's about to be a complete rocket ship, because next year they will announce better outcomes at lower cost for the majority of chronic diseases. And at that point, payers, doctors, medical organizations around the world will be like, if we actually want to save money and we actually want to deliver better outcomes at lower cost, we're going to have to do this. And then I'll be here waiting.
Amazing. And you know, one of the things that I love about functional medicine is it has a capacity to address the chronic disease burden. So it takes us and it manages sick people. But once it gets you to that, I call it the line of fine. Once you're fine, no one traditionally knows what to do with you. Now we get to move into that place where we're optimizing health. And you recently came back from a trip to Guernsey where you were speaking with a group of curated experts from around the world. And you were talking about how to get from fine to optimal, how to live to 100. Can you talk a little bit about that trip and about the concept of longevity and some of the ideas that you threw around?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So it all started, I did a digital summit back in 2014 on the evolution of medicine. And one of the people who listened in was this guy called Mark Wynn, who is a sort of a Singularity University graduate who lives on this island of Guernsey, which for those people who don't know is a tiny island between England and France. It's not part of the EU. It's not part of the UK. It's a tax haven. So it's its own independent nation. And he sort of convinced me to come over and speak in his TED event, his TEDx event. And I basically gave a talk saying, what would it take for Guernsey to be the next blue zone? There are 5 blue zones currently. If you don't sort of know about the blue zones, these places in the world that are places where people live to 100 disproportionately longer than in other places. And so we decided that we were going to, I went over and gave a talk and I talked about the power of community. I talked, about the power of lifestyle. I talked about, many other things, functional medicine. And it stimulated someone on the island who was very excited about this to say to Mark, hey, we want to do a whole conference on this. What would it take for Guernsey to become the first place in the world to get to life expectancy 100? Currently it's 10th. So first is, Monaco, which probably doesn't surprise you, tiny little island, right, with a bunch of millionaires.
Right.
Then you've got Norway and Japan. And so they're the top three, and they're all at about 89. And Guernsey's at about 85. So they were like, could we leapfrog those countries and get to 100 first? And it's reasonable to think that they could because they have a 63,000 person population, which is basically the size of a massive medical practice in America. 2, they're an independent nation, so they can do whatever they want. They don't have to wait for permission from the UK government or Brussels in the EU to make their decisions. And the third thing that I sort of realized that puts them in a good position is that one of my friends, Dr. Rangan Chatterjee, is this doctor called Doctor in the House. He's on this BBC TV show called Doctor in the House, where he uses functional medicine to go, it's kind of like Dr. Oz meets Super Nanny, if you can imagine the show format. So you go and live in the person's house for a month and you see their lifestyle and you adjust the lifestyle. And really for the first time, he's been able to show not just, oh, it's nice to have good diet and you might improve a bit, complete reversal of some of the most tough chronic conditions. In the first season, type 2 diabetes, opiate addiction, eczema. In the second season, cluster headaches, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue. And he's just doing it on the regular for everyone, and everyone's getting better. No drugs, just rocking it and just doing aggressive lifestyle changes and getting people well. And so for the first time, 5 million people who are watching that show. And now I just found out today that it's being sold to 20 more countries. So this is going to be a wildfire around the world in the next year, seeing the power of these kind of interventions on health creation. And so Guernsey, the third thing it has in common is that they can watch BBC TV. So they've all seen it happen. So I got him to host the event. I got all these speakers. We spoke on about a range of topics from functional medicine through to ideas like community ideas, like healthy aging communities, Whiteley Village. Talked about propaganda gardens and getting people involved in food creation. We talked about things like universal basic income. It's, a lot, it's on Ontario. Ontario is the first place in the world to do it, right? Where you live right now, universal basic income, because guess what? A lot of people die early because they're impoverished, so they don't have any money. And so this is a conversation that's, it opens a bigger umbrella to talk about the future of health creation and the future of medicine. So it was a super cool event. You can watch the whole thing at journey100.gg or journey100.org. It's all available for free to watch. Some epic talks, a really good vibe all the way there. I think it really made a big impact. And my hope is that, you know, if I want to be the guy that's going to be helping to facilitate the evolution of medical systems around the world, you know, if a country wants to do this, you know, it's better to be the guy that's already tried to do it with one country rather than just from scratch. And so Guernsey's the first, but you know, there's a massive convergence happening, whether it be the ridiculous cost of chronic disease, you know, whether it be the genomic revolution, whether it be, you know, the way in which we're all working with our, you know, our devices to get all of that stuff is all happening at the same time, where this is gonna happen, and it's gonna happen fast. And that's why I say it's kind of a rocket ship, it's kind of a roller coaster, but it's happening, and it's fun to be right in the middle of it.
Well, I want to get to genetics and talk about that. But before I do, I actually want to back up to something you mentioned when you were discussing that. And that was the concept of community and socialization. So I just came back from a conference and we had a talk on the neuroimmunology of social isolation. And it was fascinating in that we were looking at contributors to all-cause mortality, and social isolation rated higher than smoking as a contributor to all-cause mortality for individuals. And I know that talking about the concept of community is something that you are passionate about and highly involved in. We've got technology tools, we've got physical capacities to get together. Can you comment on the influence of community to actually build health?
Yeah, no, I definitely can. And this is probably the central thing that I'm passionate about. I mean, if there's anything that you can look back and say, I talk a lot about the stuff that we've done. If there's one thing that I've actually done where you can look at it and see James has done this in his career, it's one is building community and building communities of doctors who are interested in this kind of thing, and then helping doctors to build communities around their practice. Because what we're seeing is that the most valuable thing that a doctor could ever do is to introduce two people that want to get healthy to each other, because there's a power of peer-to-peer community support. One, it's totally free, right? Look at the way that like Alcoholics Anonymous and, you know, and those kind of things have used the power of peer-to-peer, you know, support there. And it's completely scalable, right? Everyone can have an accountability buddy. And three, it works. And as you said, it's a bigger driver. And so, you know, we had been speaking about community. I spoke about it in my TED talk for a long time. And then back in 2015, I went to a lecture with a guy by the name of George Slavich, who's a physician out of UCLA, and he works for the UCLA Stress Lab. And they've shown through this new science of human social genomics, where they can essentially measure the impact on gene expression of certain factors, the social isolation has a bigger impact than smoking, diet, and exercise, and alcohol. And so that's a pretty blockbuster moment, I would say, for healthcare to say, hey, look, we've been focusing on a lot of important stuff. Yes, like getting people to stop smoking. It's a great public health win of the last 50 years. But what if we could solve this problem? Because a lot of times you go to those vices when you are alone. And so, you know, so I'm really excited to see what could come out of that. And everything that we do is all about introducing people who want to get healthy to each other.
Yeah, it's so interesting. You know, as an aside, I just came back from Phoenix and I was talking to the cab driver from the airport to the hotel for this conference. And he was from Ethiopia.
How dare you have margaritas in that swimming pool?
I had margaritas without you. I missed you, though. I missed you. And he was interesting because he's, you know, he was here from Ethiopia. He had lived here or in the United States for 19 years, loved America. He said it's brought me all sorts of opportunity. But he said, and not through any direction within the conversation, just he came out with it. He said, but when I'm old, I'm going back home. He said, I can't think of a worse place to get old on the planet than America. He's like, everyone as they age gets more and more isolated and no one wants to give anything away. He's like, I'm revered as a member of the elderly population when I go home. But in America, I am segregated and I am cut off from community. And I thought it was such an enlightening conversation leading into this this conference where socialization and community as a contributor to medicine was such a pervasive component of the conversation. So he set it up perfectly, but it was sort of the on the ground talk about the importance of this.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And it's, you know, it's nice to have those kind of moments of serendipity that set you up for those kind of conversations. And he's right. You know, it's very interesting. You know, the only reason my dad lives in South Africa, my mum lives in England, you know, if they're both aging, and essentially the only way that they would ever move from where they are now is to build a community somewhere. And I feel very called to do that. And as an only child, I'm about to sort of face down the fact that this is my responsibility to do. And this is kind of the things that I spend my time thinking about. But I think, you know, community was not cool maybe until about 5 years ago, I would say, until we started to see the beginning of the sharing economy and everyone realizes, does everyone really need their own lawnmower, really? Like, you can't borrow from the guy next door. And, you know, that's the beginning of it. And I think that, you know, just to show how cultural things have changed, you know, imagine, Megan, if I told you 10 years ago that you would get into the car of a stranger with no taxi license and just get in a car with him and he would take you where you go. You don't know what kind of driver he is. You don't know who he is. You don't know where his car's been or whatever. Would you do that? No, of course you wouldn't. But now you would every day, and you probably do every day. And then, you know, think about with Airbnb, like, would you ever consider letting a stranger live in your spare room? Like, probably not, but now you probably would. Maybe a lot of people do. Right. And so, you know, I think that underlying, with technology, there's been a lot of like increased vulnerability, maybe because you putting yourself out there and people can see who you are. But I think that extra vulnerability has actually led to another level of trust. And it's one of the things that actually makes me, you know, fairly optimistic in a world that it's sometimes difficult to be.
Well, and I think once you put people in community when you put them in communities in whatever capacity ends up being comfortable for them, you see people come out of this shell. You see that this is actually inherently natural to them. You see that it's almost like it's part of their DNA.
It's hardwired into them, 100%.
Right, right. And the genetics component and the genomics as a predictor of health and as something that we need to interface in is such a hot topic right now when we're looking at health and its contribution to the evolution of healthcare. What are some of the cool things that you have on the table with respect to facilitating a greater understanding with respect to genetics and healthcare?
Look, genetics is a weird topic, right? Because the first interaction that most people ever have with genetics in the years gone by is like where you get your genes looked at to see whether you're going to have a Down syndrome baby or, you know, cystic fibrosis baby. And so in the mind of most people, genetics is this thing where you get told that you'll get a life sentence or a death sentence more likely from some disease that comes from your genes. And so, you know, and so that's the overriding thinking of it for most people. And then in March, you know, 23andMe was now able to give disease risk information, not just the, you know, heredity and ancestry. And I just thought, oh shit. Like, we've got a lot of people now who are going to get this information and they're going to be super disempowered and fearful about it. At the same time, I go to all the conferences where doctors are learning about what's actually happening in genetics. And the big picture information from those conferences is this. There are very, very, very few genes and very, very few mutations that override by themselves the potential impact of lifestyle change to affect the genetics through the epigenetic mechanism. So epigenetics is control above genes, right? So you can turn on and you can turn off genes through lifestyle. And basically what they're finding is that one, single genes and single SNPs don't actually mean that much. Any doctors that were trying to treat SNPs, you know, find the SNPs that you have, find the mutations and treat them with supplements, it hasn't worked. It hasn't led to better outcomes, just led to a lot of cost. It was useful to learn that it doesn't work, but it doesn't work. What does work is functional medicine, an operating system for prioritizing integrated modalities, for empowering the patient to be able to be part of it. So I just said, okay, we got to do something. We got to get the word out. Just like with the genesis of the functional forum, I'm sitting in these functional medicine meetings and there's only 500 doctors in the room and every doctor on the planet needs to understand and learn this.
and no one's video recording it, right? So it's literally happening once. And if you just happen to be a little bit asleep or whatever, you missed the crucial information. I was like, never again. So that's with the Functional Forum now. What we did 4 years ago and what we continue to do is essentially bring down the barriers to entry to any physician anywhere in the world or any patient anywhere in the world to find out about it. And so we've done the same. Now we're going to do the same for genetics. So the Interpreting Your Genetics Summit is running August 21 to 28. It's completely free. You just have to, you know, go and register. You'll get a ton of resources, including how to save money in the healthcare system, you know, particularly in America, such a mess, so much opaque information, pricing, perverse incentives. You know, as a Canadian, as a Brit, we can look at it and just go, this is ridiculous. And so we want to bring some sort of clarity to that and to be able to say, here's a way how you can navigate the system to save money, because more and more people are getting onto these high deductible plans. But yeah, if you go to the summit, you're going to learn straight away that actually there's a very empowering message with genetics, is that you can find out right now what you should be doing to optimize your health. And, you know, I'll give you an example. So APOE4 is a gene that's become very popular. And, you know, I know that probably when you went to medical school or when others have went to medical school 10 years ago, they basically said, look, don't bother finding out about it because it's a death sentence. You're going to get Alzheimer's if you got the thing. And now what they see is that's not true at all. In fact, you can make significant impact and you can actually live just as long and not get it just as long, depending on if you're not living the standard American diet. So it's actually quite empowering now to say, okay, I've got the APOE4 gene mutation, so I should probably eat more cruciferous vegetables. And for a man like myself, who would never have taken action on anything until it was too late, until I was like, oh, my brain is actually slowing down when I'm 55. Now that I'm 35 and I know about it, I can take action today to avoid those problems in the future. So what I wanted to deliver was a super empowering message to everyone. So we brought together the leaders in functional medicine, genetics, and genomics. We've got people like Craig Venter, who sequenced the human genome at the beginning. We've got leaders in functional medicine like Jeff Bland, Dr. Roger Chatterjee, Perlmutter, Hyman, and all the sort of usual characters on there. And then other people that I've met over the last 2 years who are just doing really innovative stuff and finding innovative ways to help to, facilitate epigenetic mastery from patients, essentially. And I'm really excited to bring it together. So I would recommend to anyone to check it out. It's August 21 to 28. And if you register, we send you a bunch of cool stuff and it's totally free.
Well, I've registered already, and we'll make sure that we have all of the links in the show notes for this episode. Sweet. So we can hook everybody up in terms of being there. You know, and I'm guessing you had the opportunity to interview a lot of the experts that you're going to have on this.
So, all of them. That's kind of what I like to do, Megan, is I like to, if I do these summits, right, I get to interview all the smartest people. And then a little percentage of that goes into my brain. And what I think I'm better at than almost anything else is hearing smart stuff and then saying it.
Okay, well then here's the deal is I'm going to listen to all these experts, but since you interviewed all of them, it seems much more efficient for me to just talk to you right now.
Yeah.
So as an average consumer wanting to understand more about their genetics, where should they go? Should they go through their physician? Should they do something like 23andMe? Like, what are the first steps in terms of accessing that information?
One of the things I think we all hope that there'd be this army of physicians that are well educated in this space,
right,
ready to like answer all your questions and empower you to better health. It's not
happened.
No,
I agree.
So there's not this army of people ready. So, you know, we picked a sponsor like DNA Life as a sponsor because they only sell through doctors. They've got, you know, groups of doctors that can do it and they've been training doctors in it. So I think that, you know, different labs will focus on different, different sort of genes and SNPs that they think are sort of well-researched enough to comment on. If you go to the site, I'd recommend doing the Viome test. Now, the Viome test, if you come on and if you register, I'm going to send you the video of me having my Viome test interpreted so you can see it. The reason why I like Viome and the analogy that the chief medical officer of Viome gave, who's called Dr. Helen Messier, she said, if you want to know about the health of a house, right, do you look at the blueprint? Or do you go up and actually knock on the walls and see, is the integrity there? And that's the difference between, you know, genetics and genomics. Genetics, and in this case, transcriptomics or metabolomics. Genetics is really talking to you about the blueprint, right? That's the blueprint of the house. And that will tell you, like, if the blueprint is a mess, then you can see, okay, there's probably going to be problems with the house. But, it's better to actually look at, you know, the metabolites. And so when I did the test, there's a genetic component in that you get the genetic sequencing of your microbiome. So they do a stool test, but then you also do, I've got the thing right here, actually, you do your blood sugar. So you essentially, you test your blood sugar on one of these like diabetic strip things. And then you take a challenge. So you drink this like sugar water and then you test it every 30, 40 minutes. And it's super cool because then you actually get the genetic data or the genomic data and this other biomarker data. And with AI, they put it together and you actually see what the hell's going on. So I would recommend doing something like that because one, it's a direct to consumer test. So you don't need the doctor. And then you can watch my interview with Helen and you can see on my information and, you know, you can look at that information and get more of an accurate picture of what's actually happening because they're measuring the metabolites that come off as a result of the genetic process and not the blueprint itself. Because, you know, the blueprint itself, I'm super interested in genetics generally. Like I think one of the best ways that we could end racism in society is to have everyone do the ancestry because you're not as white as you think. Right. And so I think that that's a beautiful thing. And I think people should do that for that reason alone, to realize that, you know, that we're all a bit of a mix. I haven't actually got my results yet, but I'm about to get it. So I'll, you know, I'll report on it in the summit, but I think that's a really important thing for us to be able to do. But I think the metabolomics test and some of these other omics are actually probably more useful than the genetic test themselves because it tells you what's actually happening. And this sort of cross-pollination of genomic information and real biomarkers from medicine, I think that's the future right there.
Yeah, it's such a great analogy. We're undergoing renovations right now. And just yesterday, we had original blueprints on the house and we predicted things would be where we thought they would be. And there were walls and bricks and all sorts of things happening that we couldn't tell. We couldn't tell from that foundational
hundreds
piece.
Hundreds of years of use, right?
Literally hundreds of years. Of use. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. So, you know, in these conversations, and if we were to have some take home messages, you know, you mentioned eating some broccoli and the lifestyle factors. What are three or four fundamental lifestyle factors that people need to bring into consideration and really should transition from, oh, I'd like to sleep more to, no, you must sleep more. Like, did you encounter through these interviews some key things that if people would just do it, it's going to push them closer to the kind of outcomes that you're looking for in Guernsey?
So yeah, Dr. Chatterjee, who I just interviewed actually, who's, I think, you know, in 10 years, we'll look back and go, look, this guy was the powerhouse that changed the industry. He's a legend and he's like one of my favorite people on the planet. He spoke about these four pillars of, you know, of thing. And a lot of times he sees people that, you know, maybe are trying to reverse their type 2 diabetes and they've got the diet stuff locked in. I mean, I'm sure just, you know, I've listened to your podcast. I know the kind of people you've had. You've had a lot of diet people on and people who tell you how to eat well. But what he's seen, and he's the one who's reversing these chronic diseases all day. He's seen essentially that typically there are four pillars. There's like, you know, the eating, the sleeping, the exercise, the movement and exercise and the relaxing. And what he found is that for most people, they have two or three of these dialed in because they care already, especially right. Your entrepreneur females who are like crushing it in their jobs. They probably know that they shouldn't eat McDonald's. They probably know those kind of things, but right. Maybe they're the type A personality that doesn't switch off. Maybe they don't sleep enough. Maybe they don't have a way to relax for themselves. Maybe they don't move properly because they're sat at their desk the whole time. And I think it's balance amongst those four areas that's the best starting point. I would also throw community into that, mainly just because, you know, it's clear now that you are a product. Your health is a product of like the five people you spend the most time with. And so like if you are, you know, spending time with people who are dysfunctional with their health, you're probably going to become dysfunctional one way or another. So I think if you look at those four pillars and you really identify yourself and you're honest with yourself and say, you know, my diet is probably locked in, but maybe this other area is a way. Like the cool thing about functional medicine that I like is that it prioritizes these kind of modalities. And what I would say is if you take an honest look at those four areas with yourself and say, you know, which of these am I not taking seriously? Does that make sense to you?
The doctor agrees. Right. Food's easy and food's up front because you do it multiple times a day regardless. So if that's not dialed in, then it's a real obstacle. But, you know, I think having fun and incorporating play, this is a huge challenge for my population, certainly, is getting people to wrap their head around the fact that it's good for your health to get out and to play and to have some fun.
Awesome.
How would you define health?
Health is the ability to
self-actualize what you're here to do on the planet efficiently.
I like that. It's totally in alignment. Our fundamental mission with my company is this core belief that when people are well, they can change the world. So I get that.
This episode is brought to you by the Genetics Summit. I don't know about you, but I want to know everything I can about how to take my life and my health to the next level. Looking at genetic information to be able to address your health at a totally different place is cutting edge, and it's precision medicine at its best. Our friend James Maskell from the Evolution of Medicine has pulled together leading experts from around the world together to present information from August 21st to 28th in the free online Genetics Summit. This is an opportunity to understand what you need to know about getting testing, how to interpret the information, and what changes you realistically need to make in your life on a daily basis to take the way you are living to a whole new place. For more information or to register for the summit, go to meganwalker.com/genetics summit. We'll see you there.
So the second half of this interview, which isn't really a half, it's like the last little bit, is something I call our KPIs or key performance indicators. So just like we would have these with respect to a business or new venture, I think we also have them with respect to our health. So these are just five really quick questions. I'm going to put you on the spot again. And let's just see what you have to say. First question, do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share it?
Megan, you know, I've actively resisted trying to be the guy who tells you how to be healthy, because I was literally trying to, you know, there's so many people in our space who are that guy. And right. I was really trying not to be that guy. I see that I'm about to have to become that guy just because of, you know, what's happening. So I would say no, but I would say the healthiest part of my day is walking my daughter to school. And I feel like an amazing sense of connection. It makes me happy. I'm walking, I'm doing things that are healthy anyway. I'm doing it with someone I love. So, you know, that's the healthiest part of my morning. The worst part that I need to get better at is looking at my phone first thing in the morning. And I know it's bad, but I'm addicted and I'm trying not to be.
It's an evolution. It's okay. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
Nonfiction. I hardly read any fiction. I love reading nonfiction. I think the world is super interesting. And a range of stuff. My favorite book of last year was The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible by Charles Eisenstein. I think it's the best book, one of the best books I've ever read, and is something that I would recommend to everyone.
I love it. We'll have it in the show notes. Hot beverage of choice. What is it and how do you prepare it?
I drink coffee, and I didn't used to until I moved to America 12 years ago, but my wife does, and now I do, and I love it. But I do say that I don't think it does anything for me. I like the taste of it, but I can drink it last thing at night, and I can still sleep. I think when I get my genetic information, I'm going to find out that I can metabolize it fast or whatever it is, but I think it's delicious. So I do like coffee in the morning.
Yeah, look at that homozygous phase one. I can't wait to see those results. What do you do for fun or play?
I like dancing, I play tennis, and I play beach volleyball because now I moved to Venice Beach, as you well know. I like to drive minor Canadian celebrities around in my electric tuk-tuk.
Highlight of my trip?
That kind of stuff.
Amazing. And last question, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think if you want to become an entrepreneur, the best way is to do sales. That was basically what I realized, is that I was not learning any relevant skills. I wanted to be an entrepreneur and I realized I was not learning any relevant skills. And the only reason I wanted to be an entrepreneur is because I wanted to do my own thing. Like I wanted to do something that no one else would think to do. And, you know, I think it takes a while to have confidence in your own ideas, but you can get a lot of confidence in your own ideas for seeing how messed up everything else is. And so if you realize like, okay, I could be the change in this area, the first realization is that the plan as it happens right now is not working, or there is no plan or whatever. Like that's a good, you know, I saw that and that was one of the first things that came to me. And then sales, because ultimately you're going to have to sell different people on your vision. It's going to be your employees. It's going to be the clients. It's going to be
your
investors, spouse. So, you know, sales, I would say forcing yourself into sales and gritting it through the hard yards. I literally, went from being an investment banker to a door-to-door homeopathy salesman in order to get here. That was the, you know, that is not a typical career progression, but I did it because I knew that I wanted to make an impact in that industry. And I guess the last quote that I'll leave you with, someone told me, is that, you know, if you want to find yourself at the bottom of a ladder that you want to climb. And that was what I found at the bank, is that I realized that I didn't want to climb that ladder. And as soon as you realize that, you got to get out.
James, full of wisdom, like always, where can people find you and learn more about what you're up to?
Functionalforum.com is where you can see all the episodes of the show. GoEvoMed.com is the evolution of medicine. That's all for doctors. My new venture, which you find out about at the summit, is called newhealth.com, KNEW health.com. And that's going to be the consumer facing part. So that's going to be something that most people will be able to interact with. We're just testing the system right now to see how well we can get people at the cheapest possible cost, but that'll be coming to you soon and will be available. We'll be taking 1,000 new members in September.
Fantastic. Well, we will have all this information available in our show notes. Thank you again for taking the time.
Thanks, Megan. Pleasure.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.